Much wailing and gnashing of teeth on Saturday morning. A very disappointing performance from the Springboks. They lost to the Wallabies for the second weekend running. First weekend, they lost to the penalty kick after the hooter. This weekend, well beaten. 30 points to 17, 4 tries to 1. Good performance from the Wallabies. I think people need to say that before we start whinging about the Springboks. But yep, there's plenty to analyse, plenty to talk about, and plenty of wild theories going on and going around as to what happens. And, of course, the Box early kickoff, I think it's 7.30 this Saturday, play the All Blacks for the 100th time in the greatest rivalry in rugby. Sports editor of Daily Maverick, Craig Ray, joins me now. Hello, Craig. How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. Good. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Bit better than I was at 12 o'clock on Saturday morning. Look, theory number one, Russie. He wasn't there. Therefore, the team can't win. He is the magic elixir. What do you reckon of that?
I don't know. I mean, how can we prove that? I don't think so. I mean, Russie's, you know, on Zoom meetings with him, and he's there in all but spirit, you know, in his physical frame. And I just think that that's a cop-out of an excuse. I think the Springboks played poorly. They played their similar game plan, but they didn't execute it anywhere near as well. And as you said in your introduction, I think the Wallabies actually played quite smartly and quite well. You know, and the Springboks' record in Australia is pretty woeful. In fact, it's as bad as it is in New Zealand. So it's not like they go there and win easily and often. So I think, you know, that's not an excuse, but it's just a bit of context to say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how good the Springboks are, and there's been some very good Springbok sides that have lost to some very mediocre Australian sides in the past in Australia, and vice versa when the Wallabies have come here.
Very much so. Very good Wallaby teams have come here and lost.
Exactly. So I think the Russie theory is a little bit flimsy, really.
What about the no plan B? We seem to alternate between saying they need to play a more expansive game, they need a plan B, or no, what they need to do is go back to plan A and just do it better. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, look, I think they've got to grow their game. They can't keep playing this smothering kick chase defense. It works, and it works effectively at test level, but, you know, you have to have a bit more in your armory. I actually think they moved the ball. In fact, they did move the ball more than Australia. They ran, they had more runs than Australia. They, where they came up short was the execution. They didn't break the line. They only broke the line 5 times. Australia broke the line 19 times in fewer carries. So they weren't that effective with the ball in hand. So the Springboks definitely tried to change things a little bit last week, and it wasn't very effective. But it all came off the back of a pretty poor performance defensively. And they weren't winning the collisions like they usually do. They weren't getting much change out of the scrum. The line-out did okay. It wasn't brilliant. So when all those departments come together, you know, it works on the Springboks. But when they start faltering, they don't have that individual X factor, that kind of New Zealand flair where they can conjure a try almost from nothing, which can maybe shift the momentum of a game. And I think that's where the Springboks' problem is. They need to be a little more expansive. And I think, you know, they're very analytical and very unemotional. They have a 13-point checklist after every test match, and they'll go through the checklist, and the 13th point is, did we win or lose? So they could, in some games, win a match. So they tick box number 13, but a lot of the other boxes are negatives. But they still won the match. And sometimes they can lose a match and have 11 positives, but they lost the match. And I think maybe they're losing a little bit of that emotion that makes Springboks of the past, quite a dangerous animal, and they've become almost robotic in their analysis and taking the emotion out of everything, which is a good principle in theory. But I think sometimes you just need some raw emotion to get, just to get some spark going in a game.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard about this 13-point checklist before. I must find out what the other 12 are, other than winning
Me too.
Or losing. Okay, what about this? The other theory going around that it's very rare for teams to back up one World Cup to the next World Cup. In fact, only the All Blacks have done it. In fact, only the All Blacks have reached a final the next World Cup having won it. So if you stay with what you've got, which is exactly what Ninava has done, I mean, they've barely changed a jot except for injury. This is the World Cup team still playing. You will not succeed in the longer term. That at some point, and we're only a couple of years away from the next World Cup, you have to refresh. You have to take some of those guys and say, sorry, you're gone, and we need to be doing that now, not in a year's time. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think you're right. You have to refresh. And I think, we forget the Springboks missed all of 2020. And then they went straight into a British and Irish Lions series, which is only about the result. You know, that's not a series where you grow a team. That's a series where you somehow win it, and then you can think about growth. And he has actually used 40 players in 8 tests this year. So it's not like there haven't been opportunities for others. I think maybe... I think their planning was a little bit thrown by losing the first test to Australia. If they had won that test, then I think the idea was to play a few more of the fringe players in the second Wallaby test leading up to the 100th test against the All Blacks. But after losing that first Wallaby test, then suddenly the pressure was on to beat the Wallabies the following week, and that backfired. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does this week if he does change a few things up. I don't really know where he can go in the short term facing the All Blacks. He's got to probably pick what he thinks is his strongest team, and it's pretty much the team that ran out last week, didn't execute. I can't see him suddenly dropping Mapimpi for Fassi or Willy LaRue for Damon Willemse or something like that. I don't see it happening. It's possible, but I don't see it happening. So I think the growth will come perhaps in the Northern Hemisphere tour later this year, where you'll look to experiment, and then if there is a full season next year, those June internationals or July internationals as they are now, and then maybe a couple of games against the Pumas as well.
Yeah, and the point being made that, you know, we expect these guys to turn up, you know, every week, week in, week out. It's a tough environment to be playing sport at the moment. It's tough enough travelling as a unit to the southern, to Australia, New Zealand, but the whole concept of bubbles and COVID, and I know it affects every team, but it does affect the players. This is a very stressful experience they're going through emotionally and mentally.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Springboks have been in a formal bubble since July the 2nd. That's 12 weeks already.
Yeah.
But they've been in other softer bubbles from early June when they were in a training camp in Bloemfontein, and then before that in provincial setups. So these poor guys, you know, let's just take the last 12 weeks, have really only seen their families who stayed with them for a week in Cape Town during the Lions series, where they brought the wives and the kids in into the bubble. And that was the only time. And so they've been in all these hard lockdowns. I mean, you know, it's a mentally challenging thing. And I know New Zealand and Australia are doing it now, but they've had a far easier run of it.
Yeah.
I mean, New Zealand until recently was pretty much open gates for New Zealand citizens to wander around, and Australia similarly. And Argentina and South Africa, the two sides that are underperforming in Australia at the moment, are the two that have been in the longest lockdowns. And that can't be coincidental, and it can't be easy for these guys. And I do have some sympathy for them. You know, and there's a lot of issues. Two players have come back because of serious family issues. There's another player I know of whose mother died. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in the background that is having an effect on the team.
Yeah, and it's a strange game, Craig, because I must admit, after 60 minutes, we're either ahead by a point or down by two. My wife walked in, hadn't been watching, said, "How's it going?" I said, "Well, it's close, but I think we're going to win." I sort of felt, I felt after 60 minutes that game was going to be won by South Africa. It was just that last 20 minutes that just, I know we hadn't played well up to that point, but the last 20 minutes just seemed, everything just seemed to go very flat.
Yeah, I thought, you know, when they went into halftime just 3 points down, I thought that was a victory because they were very poor in the first half. And then they scored first in the second half, and they were well on top. If Evan Etzebeth hadn't crawled for the line, you know, there could have been another try there, and, you know, that could have opened the gap up. And then it changes the shape of the game because Australia have got to chase the game and what have you. Yeah, it was a strange game. And
strange
it is difficult, strange, yeah, to see how they lost it, but they did, and they lost it quite comprehensively. And I guess one thing, the Springboks, if they ever wanted one game to get them up and motivated, the All Blacks, and the 100th one against them as well. So hopefully that will do the trick.
Craig, I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much. Sports editor at Daily Maverick, Craig Ray.